Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. A little while ago, I had my ears syringed because I couldn't always catch what people were saying. And, well, Jane, my wife, was starting to get a bit fed up with keep having to say the same thing again and again and again so I could actually hear what she was saying. So she was delighted when I had my ears syringed and then I was able to hear us again. And of course, that's what this passage is all about. What we see in this passage, very clearly indeed, is that Peter was partially deaf. That's why, in the original Greek, his name means rock. And as you know, rocks don't have ears. So, in a way, what this passage is saying to us is that Peter was stone deaf. Well, some of you are buying that. Please don't make notes on that, because it's a lot of rhubarb. It was a lot more subtle than that, wasn't it? What was going on with Jesus repeating what he was saying to Peter. We're going to go back in time a little bit when we come across a different scene with Peter and Jesus. It's in Matthew 26, starting at verse 26, and I'll read it to you. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." And it goes on to say that they sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said this to them in verse 31. He said, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it's written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And Peter replied this, in verse 33 of chapter 26, "Even if all fall away, if everybody, Lord, falls away on account of you, I never will. I never will." And Jesus says to him, "I tell you the truth. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Peter told Jesus really very clearly that he would never disown him. And then next, we get the scene where he does just what he said he was never going to do. Matthew 26, verse 69. "Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl said to him, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all." "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again he denied it with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man. I don't know Jesus. I was never with him. I don't know him." And immediately the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words that Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And it says, Peter went out and wept bitterly. I think he really meant it when he said it to Jesus, you know. Peter was a kind of a now and then time of guy. He went by heart, on impulse. I think when he said to Jesus, "Lord, whatever anyone else does, I will never ever disown you," I think he really meant it. And so I think when it happened, I think he really, really was sorry. He knew that he'd let Jesus down. He knew that he'd done exactly what he said he wouldn't do. And he was the one upon whom Jesus said he was going to build his church. Peter, the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. Peter, the shepherd of the sheep. And he'd blown it. He'd let God down. And he knew deep down inside that he wasn't worthy of that role, to be the shepherd of the sheep, to be the cornerstone of the church. But what he didn't know on the night when he betrayed Jesus, what he didn't know is that our God, his God, the Lord Jesus, is the God of second chances and of new beginnings. We've been thinking about a new beginning with Isaac today. He's a God of second chances and of new beginnings for individuals and for churches. And over the time that I've been a Christian, I've come to realize that the important thing is not necessarily that we always get things right, but rather when we get things wrong, we get them right. Sorry, does that make any sense to you? It's not that we never get things wrong, but that when we get things wrong, we get things right. That's what I've found to be more the important thing in the Christian faith. Because we're going to get things wrong. And I think wrongdoing that leads to repentance can yet find restoration. For our God is a God of second chances and of new beginnings. So even when we get it wrong, if we then get it right, and that wrongdoing leads us to repentance and a change of heart, we can find restoration. We can find forgiveness. We can find a fresh and new beginning. And that is our hope as Christians, as we journey along the pathway of faith, that we might learn from our mistakes and that we might grow and develop and change. I want to learn from the mistakes that I make. I want to grow and develop and change as a Christian. I want Jesus to continue that work in me, to make me into the person that he wants me to be. The Christian poet Steve Turner once wrote a poem entitled History. It goes like this, it's not very long, it says this: history repeats itself, has to, no one listens. History repeats itself, has to, no one listens. Three times Peter let Jesus down. And three times Jesus showed himself unworthy to be the shepherd of the people of God. And so we come to today's episode. You see, Jesus, in the episode we've had read this morning, in order to show Peter just how completely he is restored, in order to show Peter just how real the new beginning is, in order to show him how his ministry to be shepherd of the sheep, to be the one on whom Jesus is going to build his church, to show him that as fully as could possibly be said, he says, "Feed my sheep," three times. Why three times? Because three times Peter betrayed him, and so three times Jesus was going to restore him to his ministry and show him that he loves him and give him a new start. How many new starts can you have? How many do you need? We'll never outdo God's ability to forgive and to restore us. We have a God whose nature is to forgive. He is the God of second chances and third chances and new beginnings. So I wonder if you ever feel that you've made such a mess of following Jesus that you don't ever think that he can use you again. I wonder if you ever feel that. One of you ever feel, "Oh, I'm just a rubbish Christian. In fact, I'm not even sure I'm worthy to be called a Christian with the muck-up I'm making of things at the moment." Because if you do, Peter must have felt like that, mustn't he? After telling Jesus, I'm never going to do that, Lord, and then after doing it three times in a row, mustn't he have felt just like that? It says he went out and wept bitterly. And how he must have felt on that day when Jesus has risen from the dead, after he saw the one that he'd betrayed, he'd met the very one that he'd let down. Well, I've come to the conclusion that when we fall down, and I'm not going to say if, because I think we all do fall down. When we fall down, the Son of God bids us to get up and try again. He'll never say to us, right, that's it, you've blown it, I'm finished with you. You're never going to be good enough, you're never going to... He doesn't do that. See, it's not that we never fall down. It's that the one for whom we run and with whom we run, he never forsakes us. And he helps us to get up again and bids us, keep running, keep going. And that's the Christian life in its reality that we're called to live. As Romans 8:1 tells us, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when the accuser of the saints tries to discourage us, when he comes to you and says to you, you're a rubbish Christian. You're never going to get your quiet times together. You're never going to conquer that sin. When he comes and says that to you, and he will, because that's what he does. That's why he's called the accuser of the saints. When he does that to you, stand firm in the knowledge that our God is the God of second chances, of new beginnings, of restoration, and of forgiveness. And press onwards, my friends, to that prize that he surely has kept safe for you in heaven. One day you will get there. One day, even me, I'll get there. And then we'll get what he's prepared for us, which is wonderful. A prize kept safe for you and for me in glory. For he who has called you to run this race, he is faithful. And you can rely on him. It's strange to think that this is the last time that I'll ever be preaching in this church. But it is. And our time together is drawing to a close. But I want to say that it has been a privilege for me to bring the Word of God to you for these past 2 years. So I just urge you to grab out and reach the baton of grace, of God's love, of his forgiveness, of his restoration, of his second chances and new beginnings. Grab that baton and keep running. And one day I'll see you there.